Oh, by the way, we should have mentioned in that last match where we talked about Taker and Kane
mm-hmm.
teaming up now.
Mm-hmm.
Compare that to the previous year when
That's
they
right.
were feuding.
Yeah, blood feud. Taker hadn't even come back. Taker wasn't even the dead man yet because he was not on screen for the 04 Rumble. They were teasing he was coming back as the dead man.
Yeah, we should. You're right. We should mention that he had more
death of Biker Taker
yeah.
late 03.
Yeah, he was the full. We should go back to that. Yeah, it was the return. Obviously, the casket match. It was
right.
the return of the traditional Undertaker character.
Did they ever do casket matches when he was Biker Taker? I don't think they ever did they? Or Booger Red, or whatever you want to call him.
Can't remember.
I don't. I don't think they ever did.
I don't think they did. I know they did a biker chain match.
Yeah.
In 03.
Yeah.
But
basically, but this match here. I mean, I have in my notes. I thought it was really kind of pedestrian. I mean, I didn't think it sucked, but I didn't think it was great either. But then again, with Angle as the only, you know, guy who could really move.
I always feel so bad for Kurt Angle. I felt that he was thrown in a lot of three ways just to be the glue of the match.
Right.
I feel that was the story. Like, remember in 02 when they were they needed somebody to wind up jobbing to Lesnar, high
mm-hmm.
profile at SummerSlam, and they obviously the Rock had come back,
mm-hmm.
but the Undertaker was the champion. Rather than just have Rock beat Undertaker, they did a three-way Rock, Undertaker, and Angle, and Rock beat Angle, who wasn't the champion, to win
right.
the title. I felt that that happens a lot with Kurt Angle, where he was thrown in three ways to sort of make it a decent match,
which
to
is
salvage things
all the more funny or ironic or whatever you want to call it, in that if you look these days, DVDVR, PWO, the serious hipster wrestling historian tape traders out there like loathe Kurt Angle as like the most overproduced, self-conscious, epic guy of all time. I still personally have a lot of fondness for Kurt Angle, for his athleticism, the stuff he brings.
Kurt Angle is tremendous.
Yeah, like they hate him. They're like, he's the worst. He helped destroy wrestling with the self-conscious epic stuff. Everybody then was trying to do self-conscious epics after him. That's like the big hipster backlash now is Kurt Angle. When I say now, I mean like in the last 5 years. It's like Kurt Angle started to destroy wrestling in the early 2000s. Yeah, yeah, that's
disgraceful. That's stupid. Anyone who thinks
I'm closer to your point of
view. Anyone who thinks that should be shot. How's that for an opinion?
I'm not going to say that, but I don't agree with them. I agree with you on the opinion.
So anyway, it's a typical JBL title match. A ton of interference. He wins on the interference. We should reference the awful stables that were present here. I do not remember the Kurt Angle, Mark Jindrak, Luther Reigns group very much.
Nobody does.
And it was very short-lived because
I don't think their own mothers do.
Okay, and it was very short-lived because when Angle, we'll go into this when he gets in the Rumble, and Angle starts working with Michaels. I mean, Mark Jindrak and Luther Reigns are not
right.
a part of that at all. So it was very short-lived. They were billing it throughout this show as Angle really taking these two young guys under his wing.
The other thing is, too, like,
he obviously gave up on them rather quickly, as he should have.
Before and after, though, like, late stages WCW, now Mexico, is it CMLL? I don't even know. But, I mean, like, Mark Jindrak could have been something on that stage there. That's a guy that really could have been something.
He was an early choice for Evolution. Did you know that?
Yeah, and that he has kind of said that he kind of effed up, and Batista was able to get his spot. And
again, it probably worked better, because Jindrak, he was okay. I mean, even go back to the, because he was a natural-born thriller, but he was missing
yeah.
something.
I
he was always kind of a bland guy.
It would have been hard to replicate.
Guy.
But that's, I have in my notes the same thing you do when you're talking about Angle's thing. It's the same thing at the quote-unquote main event level of SmackDown with JBL's cabinet, Team Angle previously, albeit at least the two guys in Team Angle were really good. They made them tag team champions. Later on, La Familia, it was always a thing where nobody on SmackDown was ever allowed to have a good main event stable. It would be the champion with jobbers, which that doesn't get anybody over. But it was like, God forbid anybody ever shines brighter than Evolution. You know, Triple H doing his role-playing over there on Raw.
And, I mean, to its credit, Evolution was really good.
Yeah.
But
it looks better when you're comparing it to utter poop on SmackDown as far as stables go.
Yeah, I mean, the cabinet was bad. Orlando Jordan and the Bashams. I know a lot of people loved the Bashams' work
right.
in OVW.
JBL and Angle should have been together with other worthy guys.
Well, I've got an idea for
okay.
you. I'm going to share here in a little bit. A little fantasy
right.
booking alert.
Okay.
But, you know, again, with the Bashams, I know people loved them in OVW. I never got into the Bashams.
No, they just seemed like jobbers to me.
Yeah, and it did. But anyway, the Jobber Brigade helps JBL win here.
Right.
And it leads to a backstage segment where Eric Bischoff got it right, didn't call him Eddie this time.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, what was that? What kind of a title match was that? There was so much interference in that. And Teddy's like, you know, I, whatever, he blows up. Eric, he's like, well, what are you going to do with the Raw match? You know, Evolution interferes all the time,
is what he
came back with. And Eric Bischoff, like, was kind of goaded into it. And then Batista, meanwhile, walks in to draw his number. And Eric Bischoff's like, okay, Evolution is banned from ringside for the Triple H Orton title match. And Batista hears it. And Bischoff's like, Batista, do you want to tell him that or should I? And Batista's like, I'll tell him. And that's more subtle.
Just kind of smirks a little.
Yeah, that's more subtle teasing of the eventual split that's going to happen. That worked well.
Right.
Again, it really happened now. With no interference to speak of.
Well, by the way, you started to mention it, but Teddy Long makes a barbed wire cage match. For
that happens after. Yeah,
bad.
I have that in my notes. I was going to reference. We'll get to that.
Sorry for the spoiler.
But let's talk about Triple H squashing Randy Orton, because there is no interference, and because there's no interference, it's a squash. So we referenced this earlier. Several times, this failed face run Randy Orton had in the fall of 04. He was always the choice to win the Raw title in 04. Mm-hmm. Even when Benoit wins it at WrestleMania, the plan was Orton's going to beat Benoit for the title. And he did at SummerSlam in Toronto. And it's one of those things where, you know, that's when they started calling Toronto Bizarro World. Although Toronto had always kind of had its own unique reaction. See WrestleMania 18, obviously, matches.
Unconscionably, going into business for themselves, booed Eugene, the hottest act they had that summer, and Toronto goes into business for themselves and cheers Triple H.
Well, Eugene was shitty. I mean, he was amusing, but it was
way over.
Triple
H comes in to leech off his heat, of course.
That was a lower card gimmick. There was lower card?
He was getting treated like the hottest guy on Raw.
Well, he shouldn't have been, and that was the mistake. Triple H and Eugene don't mix. That match should never have happened.
I agree. Eugene should have never been fed to him. Eugene could have made it to the top maybe with that role. I mean, that's...
Are you kidding me?
Who is over more than him?
You always are the worst with that. Like, mistake the scene. Eugene was the
Eugene over batter?
Yes, but there's a difference between getting a reaction and being able to draw money as a legitimate main eventer. Eugene is not the latter. Eugene is the Bushwhackers, man. Eugene is Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
I'm just saying
Eugene's a guy you bring out early at a house show to get the crowd going.
He was at his peak, though, in the summer of 04. At least Duggan in the WWF back in the day was not as over as... No, I'm telling you, like 87, 88, no.
Dude, there might have been like one show where Eugene was getting... Dude, Jim Duggan got some frightening pops throughout his career.
Eugene for 2 or 3 months until SummerSlam. I always thought it was the biggest mistake in the world to feed him to Triple H. Because they were putting an expiration date on it. Why not see where it goes?
No, he could... Look, the idea that that was a character that belonged anywhere near the top is laughable, in my opinion.
But it's like, if it's working, why do smart guys like me and you got to be here like, we know better than the crowd? I don't know.
It's something... It's like the Godfather or Val Venus in the Attitude Era, if you want to even modernize it. It's something you put on early in the show to get the crowd going. It has no business being anywhere near the main event. None.
I'm just saying, he was so old.
That's the problem that I have with modern fans. Like, anytime something this has got to be at the top. This guy's got to be a champion. People cheer for this guy. And that's just wrong. First of all, guys are supposed to get a reaction. Getting a reaction should not be this unbelievable thing that, oh, my God, this guy can draw a reaction?
Eugene was at a time when very few were. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that speaks more to the promotion's inability to get people over than Eugene is a serious main eventer.
I guess my point just is sometimes don't desperate times call for desperate measures?
Eugene, that character at the top of the card. That's desperate.
I know it was very insensitive at the time that some, because of the extreme heat that he had, were referring to him as Tardberg. I also found that to be very distasteful myself.
Good, that is hideous. he's a mid card guy. But anyway,
after Triple H squashed him, stole his heat.
Go ahead. Anyway, so talk about guys that didn't last too long as faces at the top of the card. Randy Orton,
right?
So he does beat Benoit at SummerSlam, if I can get back to that point. Yeah. If you're done trying to tell me how Eugene was the next Hulk Hogan.
I think you're putting some words in my mouth there, but okay.
Orton would settle. And then he, I believe, mentioned that Vince's decision, and I have to imagine it was based off the reaction he got in Toronto, where the crowd started cheering for Orton against the very Canadian Chris Benoit, decides to turn him face. That was not. And I don't know what the long-term plan was at that point, but Vince, it was a knee-jerk reaction to make Orton the face coming out of SummerSlam.
Well, and here's the thing, too, and you see it on this show, and on this show, what I'm about to talk about actually works, but it's what crippled Orton from the very beginning. And that is, and the reason that in the summer of 04, that I really was just like, there's no way you can make this guy a top face, is because he, more than almost anyone else in the company, was profoundly unsympathetic. Now, I realize that there's some irony in that I'm always the guy sitting here bemoaning Vince trying to white meatify all his baby faces. But good God, there has to be a happy medium here. Just because you're not going to white meatify somebody, Randy Orton at no time ever was sympathetic. It worked for him in this role here. By the way, the night that he turns face, the night after he wins the title, he comes out in his fancy suit at the beginning of the show with the title and gloats at the fans and calls them all losers, the same people that 2 hours later are supposed to be feeling sorry for him as he gets dumped. Doesn't leave Evolution, by the way, like a hero would. Gets dumped on his ass, turfed out of Evolution. They did nothing to ever mitigate
this. The psychology was very, very poor.
Yes.
And I don't know what they were thinking. Now, again,
right,
as we'll get to, Batista completely bails him out. But needless to say, this feud didn't work. Triple H beats him immediately in the first match for the title, so he's back as the champion. And you have Orton now chasing him, even though he's been beaten, and it never worked.
The original plan was he was going to get the rematch at Mania, and that's what they were leading you to think anyways, and that it was going to be the chase. But along the way,
it was funny. You're right. It was funny, and then you started seeing Batista emerge, and that was Triple H. Triple H, and I don't know if this was something done just he wanted to say well after the fact to make himself look smart. But on the Batista DVD, he had talked about how, quote unquote, at the time, I was telling everyone, "Oh, you guys want to talk about this Orton? Dave Batista is the guy you got to look at. This is the guy who needs to be the top face." And so I think Triple H, you don't want to give him credit, but it winds up being the right move, you know, kind of just quashing this thing he had with Orton, this feud, and just ending it here, and then going to a much better thing with Batista, was a smart decision.
Here's the funny thing about that. The Triple H,
because Orton never could have been as good a babyface as Batista was during this time.
Right. Triple H is a guy that a lot of people out there, whether it be RVD or whoever, have held up all over a period of time, cutting their legs off, undercutting them, politics, whatever. You see, as far as the angel and the devil of Triple H, we see the devil Triple H a lot of times politically. And you see it with Orton, the way that, again, because that doesn't just happen through incompetence. They're not that stupid collectively that they buried Orton before he ever got a chance to get off the ground as a face. But Angel Triple H, which we've rarely seen, rarely has one big star ever done such a good job of building another star as unselfishly as he did for Batista, laying down for him in three big matches, the first of which is WrestleMania. I mean, it's so out of character with what we consider Triple H's career to be. But this run, you know, Triple H really did make him across the board. I mean, and Batista did his part. I don't want to diminish him.
Yeah.
But Triple H made it.
Well, and again, he did Orton no favors, although Orton was kind of dead man walking coming into this match.
Right.
There was some Randy Sucks chance here. Which,
well, and that's the thing. Which that's
it,
what
it
I
would,
said.
Yeah, I mean,
him being unsympathetic, this was the perfect last stand as a baby face, so that it's like, okay, F it, I'm going heel.
Well, and they were trying to make him kind of a badass, remember, because there was a lot of concussion talk here.
Right.
During the match again, you know, something that you're not going to talk about now.
That's true.
But, you know, he jobs clean.
Yeah.
Here, he loses to the Pedigree, and by the time it's over, you're glad this feud's over. And the match is pretty well worked. I just think that because Orton's face turn was so bad, I couldn't get that into it. And it's ironic. It's so funny that Orton as a face is getting booed, where as a heel, what precipitated the face turn was him getting cheered as a heel. We've seen that. We've talked about that through the years. Is anytime a heel's booked well, eventually the fans want to cheer him, and he becomes a baby face. Triple H was really the only guy who kind of resisted that for a while.
Right.
You know, whether it was the Kurt Angle feud where clearly the fans were wanting to cheer Triple H, and Triple H was like, nope, I'm going to double down as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a cautionary tale with Orton. And we saw with Lesnar, too.
Right.
That
didn't handle it well.
Well, no, that, like, just because a heel's being cheered doesn't necessarily mean you should turn him face always.
Well, yeah, because, again, you know, in the case of Lesnar, they did try to white-meatify him. By the way, Orton with the concussion stuff that they were saying during the match that you would never hear today, that takes me back to, I forgot to mention it during the other world title match here, something that's funny to watch in retrospect because this was years before the Mayweather storyline, Big Show with the punch as a non-protected move. Just funny to watch. Like, now, it's like he blasts somebody with the punch and they're out for 20 years.
Yes.
But you watch, it's a transition spot in the 05 Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
So, just funny.
I lost my train of thought here with
Triple H and
Orton.
Orton. Yeah.
And I wanted to say the point. Oh, but did I mention at the top? This is sad. It's been less than an hour. I can't remember what I said.
Not much
less than an hour ago. That we, you know, Lesnar's gone. That's another reason that they need to make some baby faces too. I just mentioned the name Brock Lesnar with this Orton
and
turn
Goldberg,
failing.
Which we kind of saw coming.
Yeah, well, with Goldberg, his deal was always going to expire at WrestleMania, and he had no intention of re-signing. But, you know, Goldberg, Lesnar leaving, Orton not working out, there really was a need for some new baby faces on top. And luckily, the Rumble that closes the show does produce them.
Well, the other thing, too, is, and I think, again, you know, I knew, the sheet readers knew, anybody that knew, you go back to 04, the guys that were going out the door, Lesnar, Goldberg, let's also put in there The Rock. Now, that was always the plan. He was coming back short-term for the storyline to do Rock and Sock, but that WrestleMania was the last time that we would see Rock at a WrestleMania for 7 years, and even that time in 2011 would not be as a wrestler. So when you're looking at options there, and it was becoming clear that Austin's neck wasn't going to heal miraculously, so you're right, that there were things that were making them turn the page.
So let's talk about this Rumble match itself, shall we?
Yep.
This is a good Rumble. It actually made me rethink a previous rating that I gave to the 2002 Rumble. I said 2002, I gave that 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Downgrade that to 3.25 because I like to have a nice bell curve
here
in my ratings, and I'll go back over them all when we're done with all these Rumbles.
We've
still got quite a few more to go, obviously. 10, 11 more to go. I give this one 3.5.
I say four. I get it's in a tie for fourth with me, along with 98 and 2000. Or I'm sorry, 98 and 2000.
Okay, that's interesting
mm-hmm.
because I like this one more than 98 and 2000. I give those two 3 stars only.
Okay.
I like this one more than that one. I thought that while those two, if you recall, and people can go back and listen to the mini episodes where we break them down in full, my one kind of gripe, I don't like to use that term, but I will here just because nothing else comes to mind, is they were just, it was so obvious who was going to win, and it was basically built around waiting for that one guy to come in. There was a lot more going on in this Rumble, and it got off to a great start. I know you mocked me in an early mini episode, I think it was 99, when I was ragging, you just want to have all these check marks and spreadsheets out. And I'm like, well, we are rating these things. I do think that that's what we're doing. Correct me if I'm wrong. This one does check off a lot of the boxes, the 2005 Rumble. It starts out, you said it earlier, Benoit Guerrero. I can't think of two better guys to put in there from the start.
Right.
JR and Taz, by the way, second year in a row doing commentary.
Yeah.
They didn't work as well as they did the first time. I remember I kind of was complimentary towards Taz in our 04
it's
mini episode.
It's not getting hokey as far as, I'm going to root for my Raw guy. I'm going to root for my
SmackDown
guy.
Yeah, exactly. You took it out. It was terrible.
Shut the F up,
like
guys.
Taz was doing it more. I think JR was like, this is stupid.
Right.
Because he kept saying, what are you doing, JR? What's that Raw guy doing with SmackDown guy?
Oh,
like, that was
just
getting annoying.
Shut up with that
But
stuff,
anyway,
Taz.
So Benoit Guerrero 1-2. It's a good start. I liked, and I want to know your reactions, Daniel Puter. I loved that.
I kind of did, too.
Daniel Puter,
yeah.
If you've forgotten that name, I wouldn't blame you, but he was an MMA guy who won the Tough Enough contest. And there was that infamous moment on Raw where he almost made Kurt Angle tap out
right
in a shoot in front of a live audience. Mm-hmm. Or no, it was actually SmackDown, so it was taped, right? Or was it on Raw?
I think it was on SmackDown.
Okay.
That was a SmackDown.
Okay,
thing
they were ended up.
Doing.
And it kind of got him into some hot water because Angle was pretty pissed off about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he won. And, you know, they had no intention of ever doing
it. Was
anything.
That a working challenge, though? Because I'm not really sure on that.
No. It was a shoot. He was not supposed to. When Angle was in trouble in that Kimura lock.
Okay.
I wasn't
oh,
supposed
so
to
he
happen.
Wasn't. Okay. I
no,
wasn't
Angle
sure.
was not on the up and up. He bitched him out afterwards.
I thought this was just an on-camera version of the old Ole and Gene Anderson thing of stretching the marks, whatever. So Pewter wasn't supposed to fight back as much
no,
as he
because
did.
They figured it's Kurt Angle. Who's going to do anything to Kurt Angle?
That's what I thought, yeah. It's like,
but
I
guess
thought,
what? Daniel Pewter did something about
I thought
it.
They wouldn't even bother to work the kids because they would just assume none of them could. Okay, so Pewter was told not to do that then.
I don't know if he was told not to. I just think it was assumed that it's Kurt Angle. What's going to happen to him?
Okay, then you're coming back to where I was. I didn't think that he did anything taboo in the sense that they failed in imagination in the first place. You know what I mean?
I think, how can you tell
somebody not
those,
to do
it's
something
one of those bizarre
that you don't think they
WWE
can
mentality
do.
Things where yeah. they got mad at him for getting himself over and it wasn't their
okay.
idea.
All right.
That's what it was. So anyway, despite the fact the guy kind of got over and they could have used that,
right.
done something with it, they had really had no intention of him of doing anything with him even though he wins the contest.
Right.
So this was kind of his one moment in the sun, and he comes out at number three in the Rumble. He's like, I'm going to be the first guy to win Tough Enough and then win the Rumble, which is supposed to be like a joke, like, oh, yeah, you're telling me this guy is? And he proceeds to just get his ass kicked by Benoit and Guerrero. They just chop the hell out of him. They haze the hell out of him.
Right.
Even Hardcore Holly, who I've never had really much use for, he comes out, and they put over, oh, Hardcore Holly doesn't like a rookie,
yeah.
and he starts chopping the shit up.
Three on
it's
one.
A really good segment with the three veteran guys just chopping the shit out of Pewter. He gets dumped, and I like how Holly gets dumped right away, too, so we don't have to deal with much of him. And from that point on, much like 03, we mm-hmm. talked about it, they put in a lot of good workers in this thing early,
right.
I thought. Let me look up. I mean, I know Jericho was in this thing early, Edge, Mysterio, Shelton Benjamin, Booker T. You had a lot of good workers, guys who probably weren't going to win, you didn't think were going to win, but guys, you know, you were happy to see.
Booker T., who that noted wrestling historian Taz said, quote, main evented WrestleMania last year against Triple H, end quote.
It wasn't accurate.
Yes.
It was 2 years ago, and it wasn't the main event.
Yeah. If by main evented it last year, he meant 2 years ago in the middle of the card, then yeah, Taz,
yeah.
you're right there.
There was a couple dogs in this thing early. Kenzo Suzuki, who was a real blink-and-you'll-miss-it guy. Luther Reigns, the aforementioned Luther Reigns.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything. But
speaking of team-ups, too, there was that great spot. As
oh, yeah,
as well.
yeah. So we talk about the brand split working at times in this period, and there's no denying it worked. There comes this point in the Rumble where you have four Raw guys and four SmackDown guys. Bischoff and Long had come down.
Coming
out
of ringside.
And they kind of notice it, and the crowd caught on right away,
mm-hmm.
which is good. That's what you want.
Right.
You know, it's good when the crowd, you don't have to hit the crowd over the head with it. And the four Raw guys and the four SmackDown guys face off, and they go at it, and it drew a good pop, and it mm-hmm. got over really big. And then Muhammad Hassan comes down, and they all then gang up on him and throw him out.
Not
I
before he takes
good.
A 619.
No, yeah. I want a 619, Ray. Remember that Steve Austin from One Night Stand?
That's right.
So that worked out. Guerrero, Benoit, Edge, Mysterio, we should all point out, all stayed in this thing for a long time. Benoit was in this thing for 47 minutes. Edge, 40. Mysterio, almost 40. Eddie, almost 30. You know, for four guys, if there's four guys you want to have them stay in the match a really long time, those four are a good option.
Well, another guy with a lot of agility who maybe could have done a decent amount in there for a long period of time but got jumped by Muhammad Hassan after he got thrown out was Scotty Tuhati.
Well, Scotty Tuhati is a tool.
He was milking the
all.
Injury thing. Well, he has a spot on the card.
This was, I believe, yeah, it's very low, and it's to lose. I believe this was the second time that he was jumped and never made it to the ring. Didn't that happen in 02?
I think it
with
been.
Undertaker. I remember I really liked it. Like, well, Undertaker was burying Maven.
Uh-huh.
He took the time to like just deck Scotty Tuhati.
That's right.
As well, so Scotty Tuhati did not exactly have a strong history in the Royal Rumble.
By the way, I have absolutely no frame of reference for this note that I took, which is hilarious, because I just have in my note here, Taz compares Orlando Jordan favorably to Shelton Benjamin. I don't know if that was Raw v. SmackDown bragging or whatever, but it's funny how Taz, like, just lumped in one black guy with the other.
Yeah, I know. Is that like, oh, RG3 reminds me of Mike Vick? That lazy analysis.
Could be. And Booker T goes out after a spin-a-rooney. That's a patented spot.
Yes. I will say this. It started to slow down in the middle. You have Orlando Jordan, Scotty Tuhati, Charlie Haas, Rene Dupree, all SmackDown guys, by the way.
Right.
All come in. Simon Dean, your boy. But we then
got... He should have been there as Supernova. We all know this.
Yeah, it was the time was over. So, but the next kind of big thing we had in this Rumble was the tease of, or I guess the beginning of, it wasn't a tease because it just out and out happened, but the beginning of the Shawn Michaels-Kurt Angle program.
That's right.
Angle, we should reference, worked his way back into the Rumble, just stole little Guido's, or Nunzio's number. Remember Nunzio was walking around
right
in the back, throwing the thing up?
Uh-huh.
By the way, I screwed up, I didn't mention that JBL promo. We should talk about JBL promo because it was outstanding.
Oh, the Wrestling God promo?
Yes, yeah. When he was freaking six sheets to the wind.
Oh, with the alcohol, yes, with the champagne, yeah.
I did screw it up. I should have let you bring it up when you did. But anyway, Angle steals Nunzio's number. Nunzio, like a real pussy, just lets him take it. Yeah. I should reference it. So Angle gets into the Rumble, and he gets eliminated really quick by Shawn Michaels.
Right.
And then he comes back and destroys Michaels. I remember I was really fired up at the time because I had been reading how they were planning on doing Angle versus Michaels as a real dream match. I know that some of these board posts, you know, you're right. I have read that before.
Yeah.
Where there are people who don't like that match.
Right.
What are you, dumb?
And like Kurt Angle is so overrated. You rubes that are just fascinated by his athleticism, you know, that's the, oh my God. Kurt Angle is the most hated person among hipsters right now out of anybody. I'm telling you.
I don't even know if it's hated. I just dumb people. That's what it is.
That's kind of like, well, the rubes think Kurt Angle was great, but the rubes don't know what they're talking
that's
about.
That's stupidity. I mean, Kurt Angle's one of the finest natural in-ring performers
that kind
of
all
time.
Is.
But anyway, so we got the start of that. Angle comes back, throws Michaels out, puts him in the ankle lock. I remember being so fired up because I had heard that they were going to go in that direction. And this confirmed, I was like, oh, yeah, we're getting Angles versus Michaels in WrestleMania. And obviously that was a great match. Shawn Michaels, when he does come in, though, in addition to eliminating Kurt Angle, I really liked when he eliminated Simon Dean and then started doing the exercise moves right afterwards. We had a lot of that in this Rumble. There was a lot of eliminating guys and then doing their kind of signature
effective
dance move.
Comedy.
Yes, it was Edge, I think, threw out Eddie and sort of did the old, Viva La Raza dance.
The Eddie thing, though, I will tell you. I mean, this is one of these things, I won't say the benefit of watching it in hindsight for what I'm about to say, but did get a little dusty in the room, I guess you might say, watching. As Eddie's walking away and getting the Eddie chance, you know it's his last Rumble. I mean, you didn't know
that's
what
true
watching it at the time, but it's like, Jesus, the guy's going to be dead by November. So
that's terrible. Yeah, yeah. You're right. We should say that. This is Eddie will be.
That's
it. Horrible.
It's the last time we're going to talk about. Well, I wish this was the last time we were going to talk about Eddie on one of these shows because it would mean they used good taste. But, the last time we talk about him is an active competitor.
Good bump by Paul London getting eliminated by Gene Snitsky in here. He took that somersault off a clothesline. That's one of those things where, to the untrained eye, you know, the rubes, if I may do that.
Yeah.
The rubes, this Gene Snitsky. Calling people rubes for liking Kurt Angle sort of because I think of a rube as a guy who like sees that spot where Snitsky clotheslines on him like, ooh, this Gene Snitsky's so tough when like London does 99% of the work.
Yeah, that's
if
true.
If not 100.
But too bad London didn't take that from Chris Masters so he could say thanks for the bump, Chris.
Yes. Yeah, there we go. Very good.
Thank you.
That was the old Shawn Michaels Chris Candido reference.
Yeah.
So Cena and Batista both come in late. The coach works in this, as Jim Ross sort of begrudging goes, oh, it's nice to see he's got his name on his shirt.
Right.
That makes me laugh. Ric Flair, number 30. Again, more subtlety. He tries to eliminate Batista from behind, and Batista catches him.
Right.
So, anyway, this comes down to Batista and Cena.
And the crowd was hot for Cena. Again,
They were hot for both of them. It was funny because
Batista. Well, we know they were hot for Batista.
Well, what was interesting about that, though, is he was technically still a heel, but the crowd very clearly wanted to cheer him. This was a deal where, unlike Orton, where it was very correct to turn Batista babyface.
Yeah.
Although it was very obvious they were going that. With Orton, it was a misread. This was not a misread.
Here's the thing, too, and I'm going to compare this to two other instances I've talked about previously, because this is the only instance of the three where they followed through on the turn, and the turn was effective. But the fall of 98 with The Rock, summer of 2000 Triple H, and I've talked about that these pseudo-turns of where a guy hasn't officially turned, but it's like, and the crowd's like, should I cheer for him or not? Damn it, it feels like it's the forbidden fruit, and you're behind him and whatever. This time they followed through on it, but Batista was still, in terms of psychology with the crowd, still in the forbidden fruit stage. Like, he's not officially a face yet, but that just makes me want to cheer him more.
And we should be honest here. He's getting cheered more than Cena.
Absolutely.
Who was their long-term choice of the babyface, which, again, speaks volumes to why I think that forced change they did between the two wasn't the best idea.
But here's the thing, though. I think it's more noteworthy to talk about Cena because you think back at this period of time, and we all know how nuclear hot Batista was. But it's interesting to me that in the same year where he gets drafted to Raw and by the fall he's getting booed like a war criminal, that he was still red hot here because the pussification of his character,
okay,
the bait and switch,
you're
had not yet
that.
Happened.
Yeah. You're hitting on that. I think you might have something to it. So they, shades of 94, they both go over the top rope and hit.
Right.
Thank God they didn't do a tie.
Well, that was a botch. That was not supposed
to
be.
Oh, that's right. That's why
Vince had to come out. And let's talk about that as well.
That's right.
That's
shame
a botch.
On me. They botched it, so they both went over and hit.
It wasn't supposed to be like 94.
Yeah. And Vince comes out doing that stupid-ass walk of his.
That's what he gets for doing the black man strut.
And one of the funniest moments of all time, just drills his knees on the apron, and he just takes himself out.
No, I thought he just blew out both his quads just walking, just doing that ridiculous
No,
strut.
He hit his knees. No, he hits his knees on the apron.
Well,
watch
that,
it.
That at least explains
yes,
it, then.
Yes, okay. He walks. He's supposed to get it. He just crushes his knees, on his quads, whatever. They tear. As he's getting in the ring, and he tries to get up, and he can't. You've got people.
Okay.
We can't do this justice.
Well, I mean, you know, that's what he gets for, you know, watching those old 1989 tapes of Slick and deciding that's how I want to walk to the ring.
Yeah, and so Vince orders the match restarted after, you know, both guys. It's a little bit of Hart Luger from 94. Here's where both guys, they take turns throwing each other out to get the crowd, see who's behind them. Although, again, they go back then to what was supposed to be a finish, Batista tossing Cena relatively quickly after the restart, and then he goes on to WrestleMania.
Here's the thing, though, and even though it wasn't Vince on the headsets at the time there, Vince had, whoever it was a very effective proxy because the announcers never touched on Vince's very obvious accident. Why he was sitting there on his ass in the middle of the ring, in the corner, but giving instructions.
There was some laughter in the crowd, I think. I think the crowd picked up on it pretty quick.
But the announcers didn't touch it, which I thought was very noteworthy. Although the one thing they did touch upon before that, I thought the line of the match, JR, particularly in retrospect and in hindsight, JR's line, "I would not cross Benoit with a chainsaw." Lines that are more unfortunate when you listen to them now. But, the end of that match, and I'll always wonder, maybe I don't have to always wonder, maybe the truth will come out on this, but Batista dumped Cena over, like, very decisively. My guess is if they had more time or if the original spot had worked, I don't think it was supposed to be as decisive as that. As a clear winner, clear loser, but the thing is, they were running out of time. They were about to go off the air, and that would have been a disaster. You couldn't have
Halloween Havoc 98, yes.
Yeah, you couldn't have that here.
What do we think, because this started a trend with this Rumble, and it happens multiple times over the next couple of years, where the runner-up also winds up getting a title match. What's your opinion of that? I sort of didn't like it. Here, it was okay. But I tolerate because Cena, you know, was the choice. That would work. But they do it in 07.
Yeah, that's true.
And they did it, I'm sure there's some other years I'm forgetting, but
well,
like.
Oh, wait, they were both in the match. It was Triple H and Cena at the end of the Rumble. They were both in against
Orton. Same with 06.
Well, yeah.
With Ray and Orton. They're both in a world title match, too.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of like a four where it's sort of like, I think that kind
of. Dumb because it foreshadows too much what's going to happen in the other match.
Yeah, I mean, it was all right with Cena. I remember he won a tournament.
Like, we all knew it was going to be Cena. Yeah, he beat Angle in the finals at the February PBV.
Yes. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, they went back to that well too often. I think that kind of devalued the Rumble a little bit. And it also sort of made the split a little too paint by numbers for
Well,
me.
You were always going to have one world title match that didn't have the winner of the Royal Rumble.
I feel that you have to get a little more creative then than just saying, well, okay, well, we need to come up with it, and, you know, it's the guy who was second. Because then why not? Because, like, it just made it seem like, well, if you're the last two in the Rumble, you're going to be in a world title match.
Well, here's the funny thing, and as we trace over the years, the split happens years, where at the outset, Raw and SmackDown were still neck and neck for importance versus it kind of became a blowout by the end of those years. You talked about that by 05, okay, it's already Raw's the A brand, SmackDown's the B brand. It would only accelerate, though, over the next year. This was the last year where the Rumble winner was going to go on last. Start coming in the next year? It didn't matter.
You're right.
Ray wins the next year. First of all, he's lucky to be in the match because they wanted to take it away from him. They didn't. But it ends up in the mid-card. It's a forgettable sub-10-minute match at WrestleMania 22. This is the last year where the Rumble winner was guaranteed to go on last.
Yes. At you're right. And I mean, there was a streak where the Rumble winner, holy God, I'm thinking right now in my head.
Yeah. Like,
other than 09 with Orton.
Yeah.
06, 07, 08, 2010, 2011, 2012.
All the year SmackDown had it. Because Raw had to go on last.
Well, because Cena, which was interesting. We're going to talk about this in 06.
Right.
That you should be, if you have a split brand, you shouldn't be trying to build around one guy in the company. You do it one or the other.
Right.
And it becomes a problem post-brand split, but whatever. We'll get to those down the road. People should watch that JBL promo on this show. Where he's hammered and Teddy Long then forces him to be in a barbed wire cage match the next month against the Big Show because of all the interference. That people need to watch that.
Good
it's very
times.
Fun. Amy Weber was, by the way, in that. Remember her?
That's right.
She got a nice shit sandwich from Randy Orton, didn't she?
And Jillian Hall, who in this era had allegedly gotten a mole chewed off of her face by the Boogeyman.
That was the next year.
Oh, the next year.
You're getting
year.
Ahead
okay.
of yourself. You're getting your JBL.
I told
Jillian
you.
Hall, Jillian Hall.
I'm confused, yeah.
Jillian Hall replaced Amy Weber because Amy Weber left over the conditions.
That's right. And as I look at this here again, I think I might have misspoke before because I had this down a couple spots here in my Rumble notes, but I'm saying this is in a tie for fourth. I have 92 at 4.5 stars, 2002, 4.25, 2001, 4.25. So then
2002, 4.25 you have?
Yeah, 2002 and 2001, 4.25.
Oh, wow.
4 stars I have 2005, 2000, and 1998.
So it's very interesting.
This is, and for an era-dependent guy like me, this is the only show in a bad year I think I really like out of any of the
Royal
Rumbles.
See, I loved the first half of 05. Loved the first half of 05. It's funny. That's, what, 6 Rumbles you have at 4 stars or higher?
Yeah.
For all that accusations you did towards me about, oh, you love the Rumble just more than me, I only have 4 Rumbles that will ever get 4 stars.
Your cumulative star total will still be higher than me because you don't have as many sub-2s as I do. I have a fair number of sub-2s.
I will only have 3 the entire time.
I've already got 4.
See, yeah, you're one of these like Scott Keith all or nothing raiders.
I am more all or nothing than you. I'll tell you what,
the vast majority of mine fall between 2 and 3.5.
Well, here's the funny thing too, and I don't know if this is the
and
case.
This one's
for
3.5,
you,
so it's pretty high.
But for me, in terms of star total from one year to the next, because 2006, spoiler alert, I have it 1.5. This is the biggest 1 year plummet from 1 year to the next. Now, you probably have 92 to 93 being bigger, but remember, I like 93.
93 sucks.
I have 93 at 3 stars. So I have it only going from 4.5 to 3 stars.
Oh, I had a 5 to 2.
Okay. Yeah, because I believe that, what is that, that another 50%? Yeah, I only have 93 as being maybe like 50% less than 92.
It's interesting because 2 of my bottom 5 you liked, actually. For as much as you say you have all these low ones, you like 93 and you like 99, and those are in my bottom 5.
Interesting. I still bet you let's add up the cumulative.
We will when we get to
done.
It.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, though.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's interesting. I think where I may be higher than you, because it's been a while since I've been higher than you. Well, some say I've been higher than you most days. But 04 I was higher than you.
Well, and you're going to be
most
of the
Rumble
rest of
and every other day of that year, by the way. I'll tell you what. 2004, yeah. Baby. Oh, boy. No wonder I stumbled over my words in 05 half this podcast.
But most of the rest of the next 10 years, you're probably going to be higher than me. That's going to make up the
You'll be surprised. I know for a fact, when we get to the 2010s, I'm pretty low on most of them. It'll be interesting, though, that we've generally agreed, I think, throughout these aughts, going back to like part four,
right,
that we've kind of liked every Rumble, the match itself and the pay-per-view from 2000 to 2005, right?
Yeah, the only ones that we've like super differed on, I think, so far have been 99 and 93. I don't think outside of that.
Well, 94 I liked more than you.
94 also, that's
but that
right,
was
that's
that was
right.
A, like, I like, still only gave it like 2¾ stars.
Okay, I gave it 1¼.
Yeah, but we've kind of been generally in agreement.
Yeah.
That we've liked all the shows from in the 2000s so far, right?
Yeah.
And a little bit of foreshadowing in the next part, folks.
Well, 04, where do I vote? Three stars. Yeah,
yeah, but see, there's some you liked more than me, and 04 I liked more than you.
Right.
But we've generally been in agreement that we've liked them, is
you're
what
right.
I'm saying.
You're
and
right.
And in a little bit of foreshadowing, we'll be in agreement again for 06.
Yeah.
But it will not be positive.
That's right. That's right. It goes way down from here. 06, that's a year that I know we weren't looking forward to tackling, but that'll be coming up next in the series here, ladies and gentlemen.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IAmBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.